Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, April 8th, 2006. I'm Harley Schlanger. I'll be your host today. The leading development of today is not the issue of White House leaks of classified intelligence, although that is an important story that's still breaking. It started with the release of documents by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, in which the indicted Louis Libby admitted that he leaked classified material to the New York Times' Judith Miller after his boss, the hopefully soon-to-be-indicted Dick Cheney, assured Libby that President Bush had okayed it. This is a significant story, but it's only part of a bigger one, that is the meltdown of the Bush administration. The fact that they can't get a budget through, that there's opposition to virtually everything, the Iraq situation is blowing apart. There's a danger embedded in this, which is that Dick Cheney may decide that now is the last opportunity he has to launch a strike against Iran. And we'll pick up some of this in the course of the discussion today. But there's a bigger story, and that is that the director of the Office of Thrift Supervision, John Reich, confirmed in a speech that he gave to bankers in New York City on April 6th that Lyndon LaRouche has been right, that the so-called housing boom is nothing but a bubble, and it's set to pop. And the financial losses which will be incurred by its popping threaten to cause a collapse of many of the major banks and lending institutions in the United States, which will in turn cause the implosion of the entire global financial system, just as Lyndon LaRouche has been warning. These are big stories, and we'll be discussing them and their implications during the show this afternoon. But today we're going to look at an even bigger story, one that most of you are probably not aware of. Over the last 10 days, a series of events has occurred which has profound implications for the planet for the next 50 years. And that's what we'll be talking about today. And that is the story of the emergence of the LaRouche Youth Movement as a growing and maturing political force shaping policy fights in the United States. And we have three leading members of the LaRouche Youth Movement who will be joining us to discuss that. Now, among the events which occurred was the announcement of the candidacy of Lakeisha Rogers in Houston of her campaign to become Texas Democratic State Chairman. And this is a campaign which will go till June 8th with the Texas Democratic Convention in Fort Worth. And Keisha has been very active on the campaign trail already, and it's sent ripples from coast to coast. Secondly, there was an event in Los Angeles last Saturday on April 1st, a town meeting in which members of the LaRouche Youth Movement and Democratic Party elected officials opened the process of a debate for a new Democratic platform centered around the principles outlined by Lyndon LaRouche in his Prolegomena for a Party platform, Franklin Roosevelt's Legacy. At the center of this meeting was a group of four LIM members who gave presentations on aspects of LaRouche's program. But perhaps more significant is that it occurred in the backdrop of an ongoing organizing drive leading up to the Democratic Convention in California at the end of this month up in Sacramento, and also the emergence of a new movement within the party, the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Club in Los Angeles, and we have the president of that club with us today. The third development was a trip to Mexico by Lyndon LaRouche, which had quite broad strategic implications, and it concluded with an historic discussion with youth leaders and members in Mexico, followed by a smaller meeting with continent-wide leaders of the LaRouche Youth Movement, and we'll have a participant from that meeting with us today. What these three events imply was stated directly by LaRouche in his meeting at the Monterey Technological Institute, where he spoke at a significant conference on the economy, that the torch is being passed by Lyndon LaRouche, and it's being passed not to the baby boomers, but to new leaders who are emerging around the LaRouche Youth Movement. This is what we'll be discussing today with our panel. Today we have with us Keisha Rogers from Houston. Hi, Keisha, you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Harley.
Okay, we have Quincy O'Neill, who is the president of the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Club and a member of the African American Caucus in the California Democratic Party. Quincy, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Harley.
And we also have the Colonel, Freddie Coronel, who was in Mexico with Lyndon LaRouche and involved in these meetings. Freddie, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Okay, we'll begin with Keisha, who has had a very active week. Keisha, your slogan, out of the bushes and into the future, is one that I think has caught the attention of quite a few people. Why don't you give us a quick report on how you think the campaign is going?
Oh, we're having a lot of fun right now. I think what this represents is a real victorious moment in terms of the impact that the youth movement has made on the country right now. I mean, you're looking at what has happened with the LaRouche youth movement here in Houston, where I'm located, bringing down the notorious Tom DeLay, which is a very exciting turn of events in the country right now. So we're having a lot of fun with that, and that has completely paved the way for No Stopping Us Now to going out and really creating a sense of victory in the Democratic Party here in Texas and having that effect ring loud across the country right now. One thing that this campaign that I am leading represents right now is the key to viable leadership in the country, because I mean, people right now are completely fed up with what is happening with the negligence and the insanity coming out of our current administration. The fact that we have an administration that has not complied with the needs of the population, and you've seen this through several responses from Katrina to what's happening right now in our negligence toward new sources of energy and so forth. And I think that what we have to get across is the leadership that will be taken up by our generation is essential in rejecting what our parents' generation put forth as an opposition to real science and to real technology and development. And this is what my campaign represents. The idea of out of the bushes and into the future is key to understanding that it's going to be our generation, the 18 to 25-year-olds, that will be looking for not only providing ourselves with a future that we did not receive from our parents' generation, but also giving to the next two generations to come that ability to obtain a future, a real future. And that is what we're doing right now. So we've been on the campaign trail already for the last week, which has been very productive. We just came back last night from a road trip up to Austin, Texas, where we organized on the campus, University of Texas, and had some prominent meetings with key officials in the Democratic Party there also, which we have gotten some very good responses.
Keisha, I understand there's going to be a bumper sticker coming out, hopefully this week, Out of the Bushes, Into the Future. And we're going to give our listeners information on how they can get that, because that's not just the slogan for your campaign, but that's the slogan for the International LaRouche Youth Movement.
Yes, we're excited about that. One of the youth organizers here in Houston actually designed that bumper sticker. So we're ready to get that out all across Texas and the nation as a whole.
So it's not a mechanistic boomer design, but it will be a dynamic limb design, huh?
That's right.
Okay. Now let's bring in Quincy O'Neill. Quincy has been very active in the Los Angeles County Democratic Party, but also statewide. Now, Quincy, we had a town meeting last weekend in Los Angeles. I'd like to get your impressions of the meeting and the implications of it.
Well, there are three things. First, to bring to a larger Democratic audience the nuts and bolts, if you will, of what the LaRouche Youth Movement is. The presentations, the investigations that LaRouche has plunged us into are things we are now beginning to have the ability to share more openly and widely with the general population. And that's been a process. And we're applying that and the results from the town meeting, I thought, were excellent. The other thing that's interesting was the intervention or the speeches by Eric Bauman, chair of the Los Angeles County Central Committee, and Ted Smith, chair of the African American State Caucus, where these are people we've been involved with, we've been organizing and talking to for some time now, and they have done things with us at their meetings where they've allowed us to speak and allowed us to participate and have been more open to us than perhaps some of the other Democrats in the state. But to have them both be at our meeting and see each other there was very interesting. But the general overall effect that we have on the Democratic Party, I think, was very evident, where both Eric and Ted were able to give speeches that were more honest around us there in an environment where they feel like they can be their better selves, where they would say things that perhaps they wouldn't say at other gatherings. And I think that's very indicative of the effect we have on the population generally. People think clearer, people are more honest, and are in more of a fighting mode when they're around us. And so I think they've begun to enjoy that space more, and we're creating more of that space for the general population.
And Quincy, one of the things that Lynn is pointing to is that there is a dramatic change underway in the approach to the LaRouche Youth Movement from key Democrats. Partly it has to do with just the fact that we're the only ones recruiting youth. But I think also the idea that we are a fighting force, that Lynn has launched a new flank by going after Felix Rowatin on the question of Franklin Roosevelt versus the policies of Rowatin, who is a synarchist, who was part of the tradition that put Hitler and Mussolini in power. What I'd like you to give a sense of is the other side of the developments in L.A. recently, which is the establishment of a new club within the L.A. County Central Committee, that is the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Club. Why don't you give the listeners a little sense of what we're doing with that?
Okay, well, we had, I guess going back 4 years now, we've been running slates to the L.A. County Central Committee. It's the biggest Democratic body of its sort in the nation, and holds weight in the state committee. And so we run these slates and have elected upwards to 10 or 12, had upwards of 10 or 12 elected officials, or I should say more like 8 or 9 elected officials, and then them having alternates who could also vote in elections. And this process of going to the meetings, of going to the state conventions, has been our foot in the door into the state party, and I think the party nationally. And since we've been asserting ourselves, we had recently the resolution that Harley was part of, where we introduced a resolution at an e-board meeting to make the California Democratic Party stance on the Alito nomination, that they would not support the Alito nomination, and that passed in the general body there. And so increasingly, we've been asserting ourselves in the party, and we recently chartered what is the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Democratic Club. And what that reflects is an openness by some people like Eric Bauman, like Ted Smith, to not only defend us publicly, but to hold off a lot of the people who are still in the party and probably don't like us. So, in other words, at earlier times, they perhaps may have liked us, but weren't willing to step in for us and allow us to get in and hold off the people that were, dead set against us. But now we've developed a situation where we have the club, and I think what it means to them and to California is the assertion of Franklin Roosevelt's legacy, the question of what is the leadership of the Democratic Party in California, what is going to be their legacy for the future generations.
And that's actually something that both Ted and Eric addressed in their presentations last Saturday.
Right, right. And it's something, it's what LaRouche had said the whole time with the founding of the youth movement, that what we'll do is we'll create a natural tension by which the people in the baby boomers generally will have to reflect on the question of causality, the higher moral standard that exists in the preamble of our Constitution, the fact that one can act consciously to better the situation for posterity, even though they're not there. And that embodied most clearly in recent times in Franklin Roosevelt's administration. So this is the development and the aggressiveness to that approach that we're bringing to the party, which is the Franklin Roosevelt Legacy Democratic Club.
Right. Now, I will point out that Eric Bauman was a guest on our show, the LaRue Show, back in October prior to the run-up to the very happy defeat of Arnold Schwarzenegger's referenda. So Eric has had he's been brought around, let's say. Now,
yes.
You're listening to the LaRue Show. It's Saturday, April 8th. If you have emails for us, questions for the listeners, we had some on the screen when I came in this afternoon. So we'll try to get to the emails as soon as we can. You can send them to us at radio@larouchepub.com. That's radio@larouchepub.com. And if you want to contribute, if you want to get some literature, get copies of LaRouche's Prolegomena to distribute, we'll give you the toll-free number where you can reach us at 888-347-3258. Now, our third guest has just come back in the last few days from Mexico. He was there for close to a week with Lyndon LaRouche and participated in the meeting. Freddie, what do you think is the implication of the meetings, particularly the Saturday meetings with youth in Monterrey, Mexico?
It begins to create inspiration for a lot of the youth in Mexico. And, you know, as it should be known, that we did have a guest from Argentina that was there participating in this meeting as well. His name is Emiliano, and he's one who works with the youth movement out in Argentina. He, along with various others, have had certain exchanges with the president of Argentina, a man by the name of Nestor Kirchner, and laying out LaRouche's proposals. In the case of Mexico, and this particular meeting and Lynn's presence there, the implications are enormous in that, one, the countries most powerful in Ibero-America, aside from Brazil and Argentina, is Mexico, particularly Mexico City. And the fact that we had a meeting there discussing strategizing with the youth from Monterrey, Mexico, Sonora, Mexico, Mexico City, and other different parts of Mexico, such that they can then go out and organize, you know, not just political layers, but, you know, even the population in general around LaRouche's economic policies, particularly for nuclear energy and for water development, is something enormous, in that there you can begin to develop a real fight against the, you know, for these financial institutions that would like to force Mexico, along with Argentina and Brazil, to continue to finance their operations. So it was something of great importance.
And you made a decision at the end to put out a weekly publication, I understand.
Yeah, and in a, such that we can create more of a unity within Latin America, given the different offices that we have in Mexico, the different offices that we have in Argentina, in Peru, a little bit in Brazil, and a little bit in Colombia, and with certain contacts that we have within Central America. What was decided as a result of these meetings with LaRouche is to create a weekly that will be posted on the internet, where the articles will deal with the more strategic issues confronting and facing Ibero-America. And this is something that will be accessible all throughout Latin America, such that, you know, these articles dealing with either the debt crisis, dealing with, you know, the individuals inside the United States who are carrying out an assault on the sovereignty of these nations, and, of course, laying out LaRouche's New Bretton Woods plan and program. These articles will be, you know, written. Some will be written by the youth in Ibero-America, And also, some of it will also be editorialized by the youth in Latin America. And so, therefore, in any place that you're at in Ibero-America, and it'll also be made available inside the United States, you can then print out these this weekly to then mass distribute all throughout the area, so that the same articles and the same papers getting out throughout Ibero-America, focusing the addressing the more strategic issues and drawing the attention of the population and political layers, such that then you create this dialogue over the issues that we've laid out.
Freddie, I assume, given the recent explosion of potential that we've seen in the particularly Mexican-American and Mexican populations in the United States in opposition to the fascist immigration bill, that there will be quite a potential as well, as you said, in the United States for this new weekly bulletin or publication.
It will raise a higher understanding amongst the population. The crisis isn't immigration. In and of itself, it represents a huge problem in terms of foreign policy, of course. But this weekly that will be also distributed in certain areas in the United States, especially amongst the heavy Spanish-speaking communities, it will make the point clear that we are not dealing with just an immigration issue, but this is coming from a fascist administration, and really this immigration problem is a result of an economic problem. So it is something that will raise the understanding of the problem amongst the population. It will raise their way of thinking to a much higher level, such that they can begin to see things in a more clear manner.
Keisha, in your initial statement, you addressed this broader issue by saying that one of the ways that you intend to recruit youth to the Democratic Party is by addressing the real crisis, the real financial crisis, and by offering serious solutions on, for example, as Freddie was talking about, the question of the Mexican immigration so-called problem. The real problem is the collapse of infrastructure in the United States, power, water, and so on. How are you taking this out programmatically through your campaign?
Well, one thing that we're doing right now is to give people a real sense of the work that the LaRouche Youth Movement has been doing in terms of a real drive toward a real approach toward a science driver. And what we're doing is educating the population on some of the work that we've been doing in the LaRouche Youth Movement around this question of water, what's being taken up right now with the some youth members in Virginia on looking at a county-by-county, state-by-state breakdown on the animations that we've been working on for quite some time, as well as going out and educating the population on the need for real alternatives to energy, discussing the approach toward water desalination. And one thing that's been pretty exciting is that some of the developments taking place right here in Texas, where you just had a project launched at the University of Texas approaching for nuclear development and a nuclear reactor project that's now being launched on the ground, that we have been educating around the development and the need for more of these types of projects, more of this type of collaboration to take place amongst the universities and being sponsored by the government as a whole. So it's been a very effective response that we're getting from the population in terms of having a real sense of the need for real science in the population right now.
Well, Keisha, let me ask you a question about that, because as probably most of the listeners know, the three of you are acutely aware of this. The boomer population went through an extensive brainwashing through the Congress for Cultural Freedom, the Bertrand Russellite operation to convince us that if you have nuclear power, you'll grow a second head, or in some cases, that maybe it'd be a first head for some people. But anyway, that nuclear radiation was dangerous, we can't go nuclear, science is a problem. Do you find that a difficult thing in talking to young people? And are you finding that even some of the boomers are changing on this?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think what was created as a scare tactic to drive a real sincere effort away from science and from prominent technology in our society amongst the youth generation has been rejected, because right now people see that our generation sees that there is no alternative to what's happening right now except for a valuable leadership being taken up amongst the youth generation, and that leadership has to come from a real excitement toward science and toward new innovative ways of technology that was rejected. Not only was it rejected in our parents' generation, but there was a real effort to try to scare that out of people's approach. So our generation right now knows that if we don't actually take up the leadership around these ideas and take them up in a very epistemological way, that we don't have a future. And so this is what is really being made clear in the minds of the youth.
And Quincy, I'd like to ask you, because you're working on a week of action, which includes a cadre school, April 21st, I believe it begins, or 20th,
yes.
I guess, and goes through the end of the month, which will culminate in the Democratic Convention in Sacramento. You and Sky and Cody and a number of other people, Ardina, in the L.A. office and on the West Coast in general, put together an extensive curriculum, what you might call a Vernadsky curriculum of LaRouche material to prepare for the cadre school and the political fights beyond that. What are you emphasizing?
Well, we're emphasizing more than anything is the LaRouche-Riemann method. And I'd like to, if I could, underscore the importance of Linda LaRouche's trip to Mexico and the importance of Freddie participating in that discussion. Because our approach to the Americas is John Quincy Adams' approach and also Franklin Roosevelt's approach. And one of the things, because Freddie is also here in Los Angeles and because we're right next to the border, as Keisha is as well, we have been deploying into San Diego, into that general area more often, once and possibly twice a week or times where we stay two or three nights. And this is an issue that's exploding with now the immigration bills, but then the border issue generally. What's clear is that there's going to have to be a way for the younger generations on both sides of the border to deliberate amongst each other. What we found generally just here in Los Angeles is that has become increasingly difficult because of the cultural degeneration. In the universities, the fact that cultural relativism or the rejection of truth exists makes it so that most young people who would tend to be engaged in politics or have the energy for it, the passion for it, find themselves, you find these meetings that you go to, and there'll be different groupings there, and there's no way for them to communicate. It's all opinion, so there's no way for there to be a judgment amongst the group to figure out what the better approach should be. So the fact that there will be this publication in Spanish and probably supplemented by our literature here then allows a mooring point for discussion for both the youth in Mexico and the youth in the United States, which will be necessary to transform the border policy and get the baby boomer generation on both sides to respond humanly. But as far as the curriculum goes,
Quincy, we're going to have to come back to you on that because we're coming up on a break. I'm hoping after the break we'll have a little special presentation of a song to Tom DeLay. But we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The LaRouche Show. This is Saturday, April 8th, 2006. The LaRouche Show is live on the web every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you can't catch it live, you can pick it up through an archive on the LaRouchePub.com. On the left-hand side of the page, the homepage, you'll see something that says The LaRouche Show. And if you click on there, you'll be able to see the shows we've done for the last several years, many of which are quite compelling and exciting, and some of them include Lyndon LaRouche himself. And we hope to have him a guest again soon on The LaRouche Show. If you're listening in the United States, you can give us a call to get literature. I would highly recommend that people get bundles of the new Prolegomena for a Party platform. It's Lyndon LaRouche's intervention into the Democratic Party policy fight to destroy the synarchist forces around Felix Roatan. And Roatan, of course, is in a tight embrace with George Shultz, who's a synarchist on the Republican side. We'll have a new pamphlet coming out with an article from Lynn, a very compelling article called Private Armies, as well as two backup articles by Jeffrey Steinberg on war profiteering, Bremer, Schultz. It's quite an explosive package, and that will be available. So call us at 888-347-3258. Now, one of the events of the last 10 days, I guess, was, or last week, was the not-so-surprising announcement that Tom DeLay has decided to step down. He's not going to seek re-election, probably because he couldn't win. Some people are saying, usually when they leave politics, well, I'm doing it to spend more time with my family. With DeLay, it may be that he's doing it to spend more time with his lawyers, as two of his past chiefs of staff have been indicted. His close friend, Jack Abramoff, is still singing like a canary, and Abramoff has his own 6 or 7 year sentence to prison. And so in honor of Tom DeLay, there was a song written, I believe it was in Houston. Keisha, was this written in Houston?
Yes.
And you may have been one of the authors, were you not?
I was, myself and Joe Jennings.
All right, so I was a youth boomer collaboration. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we have a song written by Keisha Rogers, which was done in classical, I think it's five parts or four parts, and it was sung in Los Angeles the other night to commemorate the dropping out of politics of Tom DeLay, or at least dropping out of the Congress. George, do we have that?
Tom DeLay, you are a stinker. Gonna throw you in the clinker. You are a crook, you dirty schnook. Lyndon LaRouche will throw the book at you for corporate donations. Casino cash from reservations. Big money from Bacardi rum. Just go to jail and suck your thumb. Oh, Tom, you know that no one ever could be born again in Coulson's brotherhood. That God, you lie. So tell the truth, you're no damn good. So, Tom, go pack your bags today. Leave Washington, be on your way. Improve Texas Congress without delay.
Tom DeLay, you are a stinker. Gonna throw you in the clinker. You are a crook, you dirty schnook. Lyndon LaRouche will throw the book at you for corporate donations.
Tom DeLay, you are a stinker.
Casino cash from reservations.
Gonna throw you in the clinker.
Big money from.
You are a crook.
You dirty snook.
So Lyndon LaRouche will throw the book at you for corporate donations.
You know that no one ever could.
Casino cash from reservations.
Gonna
throw you in the clinker.
People get the idea, and they can probably find that on the LaRouche Youth Movement website. And Tom DeLay is probably not too happy to hear that we're singing it with great zeal at the present time. Let's get back to Quincy. We were talking before the break about the curriculum for the upcoming Cadre School and Week of Action. Go ahead, Quincy.
Well, the curriculum includes a conceptual outlook and a more policy-oriented outlook. Conceptually, we're going to be looking into the LaRouche-Riemann method, particularly building up to one of the Cadre School presentations, which is a run-through of the 1854 habilitation dissertation paper that Riemann wrote, which Lynn references as one of the keys to his method, generally. In terms of policy, we have been looking at general areas of infrastructure, of industry, of credit generation, how the government has to function. And that one is probably a place where a lot of us have been focusing our attention, given the convention, the people we're going to run into, the people seeking office for the governorship have been putting forth, and Harley's done a lot of work on this in his articles, bond measures to as an answer to the deficit here in California. We've been focusing on Alexander Hamilton, his reports on the subject of manufacturers, his report on public credit, and using that method along with other instances, Lincoln's revolution, the Eisenhower Highway Project, but more importantly, the Reconstruction Finance Corporation that Franklin Roosevelt used to create credit to rebuild the United States and the world, that those policy initiatives, in some degree of technicality, will be communicated to the people in Sacramento so that they'll know how to do it. A lot of what we're running into is people simply don't know how the government functions.
We're also running into people who are defending Rowatton, or at least saying, well, isn't Rowatton saying the same thing that LaRouche is saying?
Right. And these are people who are very prominent Democrats. And so to have on one side the Hamiltonian approach to creation of credit, and then on the other side to be clear, to have clarity about the difference between a fiscal austerity approach, which is what Schultz and Schwarzenegger are pushing, but also the co-option of these credit creation ideas by Felix Rowatton that have captured most of the Democratic Party.
Right. Now, Quincy, when you say we've been working on this, I don't think many of our listeners have an idea of how the LaRouche Youth Movement functions. What kind of work groups do we have that operate in the offices on the West Coast on a regular basis?
Well, we have several periods during the day, or during the week, I should say, that I think are centered around the Sundays, where we have what are called Manche Brigades, where we've split our youth movement here in Los Angeles into four groupings that meet regularly Sundays and Tuesdays, and perhaps at other times during the week, depending on what has to be done. Those are intense sessions. For instance, the Sundays will be from 10 to 3, and then Tuesdays 9 to 11. But there's also, which is more of the theoretical side of it, the physics of it, is the curvature group, which meets from 6:30 to 8:30 Tuesdays and Fridays.
That's 6:30 to 8:30 in the morning.
Yes, that's right, 6:30 and 8:30 a.m., and we've been doing this for the last 3 months, of course, within this mobilization, but that is generally how we work. And, of course, any time at night where we're not on the phones or we can spare the time, you'll find several groups that then break off from those general groups and try to, work out pedagogies and bring that back to the group and enhance the whole group.
I wonder if some of the boomer parents would be surprised to find their children getting up at 6:30 in the morning to read Gauss's paper on curved surfaces.
They probably would. Maybe if they spoke to them about ideas more, they wouldn't have to resort to cold water and hot grits to get them up.
Now, Freddie, you've been involved almost from the beginning with the LaRouche Youth Movement in Mexico. And one of the problems we've had there is there are two problems. One is the you have a country that's going through hell. And secondly, we have a problem just sustaining the day-to-day functioning. But what's your sense of the leadership of the LaRouche Youth Movement in Mexico? Are they prepared for this task? Are they up for it?
Well, Lyndon LaRouche thinks that they're up for it, so yeah. This is one of the things as well at this meeting that you had mentioned that took place on Saturday at the Sheraton Hotel. In a meeting that took place among certain youth members in Mexico City and Monterey in Los Angeles, there was LaRouche had expressed his optimism towards the youth in Mexico and just towards the youth movement in general as to our maturity in this political situation. So, I mean, the maturity is there. The question, of course, is always the will to continue moving forward. As a matter of fact, there are Mexican elections coming up on the 2nd of July. And as LaRouche was mentioning in this speech that he gave to the Monterey Institute of Technology which was also one of the events that he had last week in his trip to Monterrey, Mexico, was the necessity, and this is something that he was also stressing back in the 70s and the 80s, was the necessity for not only Mexico, but for the world to now move towards nuclear energy and towards nuclear desalination for a new source for water. And, you know, given the crisis in Mexico, this is the main points that the LaRouche Youth Movement has been making. And, you know, it's interesting because in Mexico City there's only 10 youth members, but their educational program is very similar to what we have here in Los Angeles, in that they also wake up early in the morning and work on certain papers by Gauss. You know, they work on learning English, and they're also putting a lot of emphasis on coming to know LaRouche's economics. And so given this educational program that they've established in Mexico City, they then take this and begin to organize the population. And they organize the population to understand that the necessity now of nuclear energy and the need for new water projects isn't so much to, you know, bring in something new, but that this is where the future not only of Mexico but of the world lies. And it's interesting because we've had a lot of media attention. With only 10 youth members, you've had major leading press in Mexico City put pictures of our youth members in their articles, write articles on us, and give us interviews. And, of course, this is something that's becoming this is catching the attention of the presidential candidates for the elections in July in Mexico. And so they will be forced to address these particular issues. So this is something, yeah, of course, the LaRouche Youth Movement in Mexico are up for it, yes.
Well, I would agree with you, knowing them personally and having worked with you in Mexico quite a bit. I'd like to take a couple of the emails, and I'll throw these questions out to all of you. Some of them are a little long, so I'll just summarize them. But we have from Carmen Santiago a question about the upcoming presidential campaign. Who should the Democrats back? Carmen writes that as a diehard Democrat, Carmen does not want Hillary Clinton to be chosen, mm-hmm. but wants to have someone like Kerry given another chance. I mean, what's your take, the three of you, on you know what Lynn's been saying, that the problem with the Democrats is they're too much focused on 2008. We got to get the fight going for a landslide in 2006. I know, Keisha, you're making this a major part of what you're talking about.
Oh, yes. I think the first thing we have to focus on is Cheney next without delay. We have to get Dick Cheney out of office immediately, and we have to actually push for a real collaboration coming out of the Congress right now to actually be able to step up to the plate to lead the nation toward a real shift away from the policies that have been set forth by the administration, by the Cheney-Bush administration. And that's the first thing we have to deal with right now is, one, getting a sense that there has to be a real collaboration coming out of the Congress, and also that our generation, the youth, are going to have to take up the leadership that our parents' generation had failed to do so. So before we think about the presidency or anything of that nature, I think it is key that what we're facing right now in the nation is a real crisis, and there is no way that we can deal with the situation at hand in the next 4 years without saying that Cheney has to go immediately.
And Quincy, I'd like your thoughts on this question of a lot of people say that, well, the youth are apathetic, they're not interested in politics. They don't really know the difference between the Senate and the House. And, of course, some of that just reflects the collapse of education. But what are your thoughts on the educability of the youth generation, besides the leadership, which has been coalescing around the LaRouche Youth Movement? Is this doable?
Yes, it's doable. It's extremely doable, because there's a part of this, I think, that always gets missed, is that reality intervenes. That the collapse of the monetary and financial system, this economic crisis that LaRouche has been forecasting for years now, is hitting people hardest, and some of the people it's hitting the hardest are young people. So the need for a change is there. Now, I can't count how many discussions I've had with people where their reference point to anything political was, you know, the 60s or, you know, even periods before that, where they reference the civil rights movement. We have an ability to function as a youth movement as together as a reference point for what a larger movement could be that people are dying to be a part of. Because the recognition that there's nothing there, and then the desperation that's mounting as things start to fall apart, has provided us, as LaRouche likes to say, that the crisis works in our favor, with the ability to be clear with people. Now, of course, that means changing bad habits, that means having fights, but those fights are there to be had. And the increase of our work here, the more people we recruit, the more campuses we're able to be on, the more conferences we have, the more, you know, discussions that we provide, I think we're going to see a larger segment of that youth population that's going to come towards towards our direction and be included in the party. People want to be political, and it somewhat goes at what the woman was asking about the 2008 election. Well, the problem here is that the Democratic Party has to be reconstituted. That the problem's not going to be able to find someone who will run. The problem will be, will there be a base of the party that will require whoever does run to respond to certain policy initiatives and a certain American outlook? To the extent that we provide that from now to that point, that will be to the extent that we get any kind of viable candidate that will end up moving in the direction we need to go, which is the Franklin Roosevelt outlook. But that has to be understood. We have to reconstitute the base of the Democratic Party, which at this point I think is wide open. That is, there are people that have crossed over, who have become independents, who have become Republicans, who would come back to the party, their whole constituencies. Many people didn't vote in the last election, that would come back to the party if there was clear leadership and clear direction. And if it was aggressive, in the same way if people ever listened to Franklin Roosevelt's speeches, there was an aggressive way that the leadership at that point interacted with the population that not only gained them respect but inspired confidence. And people are more ready for that than anything else. I mean, we've had a terrible period. I mean, people are displaced because of Katrina. Of those millions of people who came out to the big immigration rally we had, what our organizers found there was they wanted the literature, some of them whether they could read English or not. We're interested in making it a substantive discussion and not having it be just a big demonstration that would ultimately lose steam and be back where we started, square run. So the possibility for us to organize people is greater now than it ever has been. It's just a matter of us seizing the moment and providing the leadership.
All right. Well, you're listening to The LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, April 8th, 2006. As I mentioned earlier, if you want to have some of your friends or maybe your children listen to this show and find out what they can do to change history, you can find it archived on LaRouchePub.com. Scroll over to the left where it says The LaRouche Show, and you can just start it right up, the magic of computers. Now, I'm going to take a question that came in from Inas El Saban, who says, "Hello there, LaRouche team. I hope all is well with you." And the email asks, "What can LaRouche do to appear on the media more often? What steps will the LaRouche team take to ensure that he does get his media exposure to convey his message to the American public?" Well, as his Western States spokesman, I'll give you a simple answer to that. Lyndon LaRouche is not worried about the U.S. media because increasingly people are realizing that the media is a propaganda machine, largely controlled by the synarchists, either to provide disinformation or just brain-deadening crap. Now, we just had an interesting development in Boston, where the Boston Globe suddenly discovered that they might be interested in talking to the LaRouche Youth Movement. And the question came up, well, do they really want to know about the LaRouche Youth Movement? And it's somewhat hard to believe that they would. And, of course, what our Boston associates are doing is making it known that if the Boston Globe wants to do something with the LaRouche Youth Movement, they can find the LaRouche Youth Movement website, the WLYM.com. Otherwise, we're too busy making history, getting out 1.5 million pamphlets, taking the debate to the heart of the Democratic Party and its constituents, and that's actually more important than what any newspaper or television might say, given that we have come to expect nothing but lies and disinformation from them. Now, I want to get back to Freddie for a moment. There are a couple more questions. If you have your questions, you can email us at radio@larouchepub.com. And again, the number, if you want the platform, if you want the material from LaRouche, it's 888-347-3258. The 888 means it's a free call for you, 888-347-3258. And you can also call that number if you'd like to order some bumper stickers from Keisha with the slogan for her campaign, Out of the Bushes and Into the Future. And it's too bad we didn't have more room on the bumper sticker. We would have ended it by saying, Into the Future Without Delay. Now, let me get back to Freddie, who is an astute observer of politics in the Southern California area. Freddie, have you had a chance yet to talk to the people that you organize regularly about the events in Mexico, and what kind of response are you finding from them?
I had an opportunity to speak with some of the contacts, some of the students that were invited to come in here, LaRouche, speak. By the way, for those who are interested, LaRouche's remarks, his whole speech that he gave to the Monterey Institute of Technology are in the April 7th, 2006 edition of the EIR. And you guys, Carly gave out the number, so you guys can call over that and get that issue. But the contacts that I had spoken to who had attended the conference were very moved by LaRouche's speech. What's interesting is that two particular students that I had spoken to that attended all of LaRouche's events with regards to the youth were individuals who had one particular individual who was 20 years old. He's a student at the Tech of Monterey, had originally spoke to us when he was last in Houston, Texas. And he ran into a youth member there. And then he went back to Mexico, and then he heard that LaRouche was going to be there. He went and he spoke with LaRouche for a little bit, and he was very excited to see him speak. And he, I think, reflects just the general mindset of a number of students that had invited LaRouche to come and speak at the Tech, and those who came out from Mexico City, which is a 12-hour drive from Mexico City to Monterey, to come and hear LaRouche speak, that here is an American that is willing to fight for the sovereignty of Mexico, the United States, and countries all over the world. In terms of the youth members themselves who do the organizing, as of yet, I haven't had a chance to speak with them, but I know, I spoke to some of the contacts that had driven up with them to Monterey, and a lot of them had expressed that they were ready to make a full-time commitment to the youth movement in Mexico City to aid in the fight.
Mm-hmm. And anybody who's within the shouting distance of Los Angeles, California, tonight Freddie will be giving a more detailed report as part of the briefing at the LaRouche Youth Movement Saturday night meeting and class. And you can call the Los Angeles office at 323-259-1864 if you want information on that. Now we're down to just a little bit more than 6 minutes, so I'm going to try and get to each of you again. Keisha, the Democratic Convention opens 1 month or 2 months from today in Fort Worth. What are the plans to shake up the Democratic Party in Texas? I know you have three opponents. One of them has already suggested that you can't go out with him to campaign.
Yes.
I know you wrote back to him and invited him to campaign with you. So what do you have planned for the next 2 months?
Well, one thing is to give people a real sense of what we represent as a potent force of leadership in the nation right now. What Mr. LaRouche has been warning for quite some time as leading economist and statesman is that we have to have an understanding that the entire financial system right now is on the brink of collapse. And you have to get across to people that there is a viable solution to this crisis that's in front of us, that once the monetary system blows out, that what are we going to do? Who's going to be there to provide real leadership toward development around solutions and advancements of nuclear energy, of real energy sources? Who's going to be there to provide leadership around stopping the insanity that's coming out of the administration right now, and as well as Congress, and in their rejection to the auto crisis right now? And that's what we're taking up, because it's going to be key that people understand that an approach toward an FDR-style discussions in the Democratic Party right now toward real leadership is going to be essential in getting the nation out of this crisis. And so this is what my campaign and what Mr. LaRouche has been pushing for represent as a solution in the nation right now. So we're going to go out. We're going to have a lot of fun recruiting young people. The idea is that we're going to completely take over Texas. We have plans for trips across the state of Texas, speaking with I've been invited to speak at several unions, as well as going into re-inspiring back into the party, the base of the party. We have to go back like FDR did and re-inspire the base, the forgotten men and women of the population, as well as our farmers and so forth, because until we actually have real discussion around ideas in the party, not just, you know, hot-button issues, who likes this and that issue and who doesn't, then we're not going to actually have a real force in the Democratic Party. And so this is what we will be exciting in the population over the next few weeks to come.
Okay. And Quincy, the first one of the things we started with was the story of the breakdown of the housing bubble, the popping of the housing bubble. Either you or Freddie, what does that mean to you organizing in California? Do you have any thoughts on it?
Sure. California's. It means that in California, where the housing market is perhaps, I wouldn't say most insane, probably only second to Loudoun County, we're going to see an increasing number of people put out on the street. I mean, this is one of the things where a very real part of the economic breakdown is going to, you know, bring itself to bear on the people we're meeting, the people we're organizing. Perhaps in the same way that the dot-com bubble, you know, had people on the street in the Bay Area, and even people that we had met 6 months prior who thought they were, you know, flying high, who had lost their jobs. And so this is an intense crisis. It's another opportunity for us to have an answer, you know, have a political orientation for these people. And we are preparing, as part of our mobilization to the convention, but even afterwards, we're preparing to elicit a response from the Democratic Party here in California to how to resolve this problem.
So it's another example of reality hitting and creating a crisis, which gives us a new opportunity.
Yes.
And Freddie, I assume you're going to be in touch with the people from the leadership of the LaRouche Youth Movement in Ibero-America. When will we have this first publication out, and where can people find it?
As soon as I find out, I'm sure there will be some mention of it on our website, on the LaRouchePAC.com Spanish website. I'm sure there will be some direction there as to where to find this weekly.
So you think it will be LaRouchePAC.com website, and probably also LaRouchePub.com?
Yeah, so I just have, if people are anxious to see that, I would just constantly check those and check the one in Spanish as well to find out any word for this weekly. It's something that's, you know, it's in the process of, I mean, the decision was made last week, so it should be coming up either within the next week or it might even be out now. But
okay,
we're trying to get that moving.
Okay, I'd like to thank the three of you, Keisha in Houston, Quincy and Freddie are here in Los Angeles. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you.
And you can be keeping in touch with the LaRouche Youth Movement through the what Freddie said on the Spanish language, but also the WLYM.com website. And again, let me tell you that it's important that we get this pamphlet circulating. And you've heard from the youth. They're going to be out on the streets. They're going to be mobilizing. Lyndon LaRouche is going to continue his mobilization. Call us for more information at 888-347-3258. Now, let me just finish with a reminder that we have a webcast coming up from Lyndon LaRouche April 27th. It's going to be 1 p.m. Eastern Time. This will be another opportunity for people throughout the United States and the world to hear from Lyndon LaRouche, not just what the crisis is, but the solutions to the crisis. As you heard today on this show, there are a large number of LaRouche Youth Movement leaders who have been in the movement now, some for 5 or 6 years. I think Quincy and Freddie. Quincy, you've been a member for what, 5 years now?
It'll be 5 in August.
Yeah. These are people who have taken up a challenge, taken up a task. They're not paid very well, but they're enthusiastic. They're working. They're developing themselves as leaders. This is your future, whether you know it or not. And they need your support and backup. I'd like to thank people for joining us today on The LaRouche Show. We'll be back next Saturday. Thank you and goodbye.